Our Heavenly Father, we just are so grateful to be in your presence this morning, Lord. We thank you for just allowing us to just to be on this side of the green grass, Father. Lord, right now I pray that as my self decreases, I pray, Lord, that you increase in me this morning. Just help me, Father, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Strengthen me right now, O Lord. I thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I pray right now, Lord, that every heart is open, every ear is open, and ready to receive of you on this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. You got your sword? Amen. Repeat after me and say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am.
I am.
What it says I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
What it says I can do.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Not a doubter.
Not a doubter.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
Not just a hearer.
Not just a hearer.
And my life.
And my life.
Is the better.
Is the better.
After having heard.
After having heard.
Faith comes by hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
Word of God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Anybody facing any challenges this morning?
Amen.
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 Got some challenges? Well, I want to talk to you this morning about slaying the giants.
Amen.
Yeah.
In your lives.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Good. I'm going to be coming to you out of 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm sure that you can agree with me that to live is to face life challenges.
Amen.
I mean, you never know what a day is going to bring. Some of the challenges that we face, they're minor. They have limited negative influences or impact on our lives. But some challenges are just monsters.
Amen.
They're booger bears. And other challenges, they just seem to wipe you out. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
I mean, some of these challenges that we face day in and day out, they bring tears to our eyes. They bring anxiety to our hearts. Mm. They bring frustration to our lives. They become aggravation, irritation, exacerbation, and frustration.
Yes.
Amen. And it looks like as soon as you leave one, another one is just waiting for you.
Yes.
Just waiting to let you know that it's there. Mm. It's been said that you're either in one of them, leaving one of them, or headed towards one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they all three just come on you at one time. And when these challenges or difficulties in life become overwhelming, you might say that we're facing a giant. And that's what 1 Samuel 17 is all about. It's a well-told story of David versus Goliath. And this story has created a picture today where people will talk about facing the giants or facing a giant-sized situation. So what I want to do first is I want us to take a look at the anatomy of a giant. We're told here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that verse number 4, when the Philistines are gathering, it says, verse number 4, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistines' camp. His height was 6 cubits in a span. That name, Goliath, sounds like a giant, doesn't it? He's Goliath from Gath. Sounds like a freak, doesn't it? I mean, when you read 1 Chronicles chapter 20, you'll discover that Gath is known as the land of the giants. It says that the men that lived there in Gath were abnormally large. In 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 6, it talks about one of those men that had six fingers on each hand and six toes on his feet. He was a massive man. When we introduce Goliath from Gath, it says that he stood 6 cubits in a span. That's 9 feet, 6 inches tall. And he weighs close to 300 pounds. I mean, can you imagine this dude playing against Shaq? Not only that, but this dude had a nickname. They called him the champion. That means he's undefeated. Verse number 5, it says, he had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. So you're talking about 175 pounds worth of equipment on top of his 300 pounds. So this man is over nine feet tall, and with the armor, he weighs close to 475 pounds. And we're told in verse number 6, on his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung across his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and his iron point weighed 600 shekels, and he had an armor bearer that went before him. This dude is not only the champion, he got all this equipment. He's 9 feet, 6 inches tall, weighs close to 475 pounds, but he also has an armor bearer. And he's the champion. That means he's a winner. He's a giant that makes his appearances to Israel over and over and over again. So how do you know when you're facing a Goliath in your life? How do you know when something is a giant-sized situation in your life? Look at verse 11. It says, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Over in verse 24, it says, whenever the Israelites saw the man, they fled from him in great fear. What is a giant-sized situation? A giant is a problem or a situation or a person in your life that looms so large that it intimidates you.
Come on.
And causes you to live in fear.
Yes.
You know you're in a giant-sized problem, not merely by its size, but by how it affects you. The scripture says when they heard the giant, they were afraid. When they saw him walk, they were afraid. And here it is right here. The giant was on the offense and they were on the defense.
Yes.
As he got closer, they ran further. You know you're facing a giant in your life when you're running and it's chasing you. You're facing a giant in your life when something looms so large you live under the umbrella of intimidation. That's a big problem. Giants come in all shapes and sizes, and some of you may have a giant on your job. You may have a giant in your home. Come on now.
Amen.
You may have a giant in school or disaster here or failure there. You got, and it's got you all shook up because it looms so large. You know you're facing a giant when the situation intimidating you also paralyzes you, stops you dead in your tracks, freezes you. Mm. So that you're unable to function normally. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Because this thing is encasing you and it's causing you great consternation. That's a giant. Because that's what this big man was doing to Israel. Now, in order to understand the situation, you have to understand something that was quite common in this day. And it, and that is when the armies were getting ready to square off, and they were getting ready to fight one another, in order to prevent a lot of bloodshed, they will allow one representative from each camp to come out and do battle. It's like, you pick your best guy, I'll pick my best guy, and we meet in the field when the dust settles. You know how we should do it in elementary school. You get one guy from each side, and you put the stick on your shoulder, and you say, you knock it off. And if he knocked it off, then it was on. You know, it's like some of us, you know, you knock it off. No, you knock it off. Neither one of y'all really wanted to fight. But it's like, you pick your best fighter, I'll pick my best fighter, and when the dust clears, whichever fighter won, that victory was imputed to the whole team. Mm. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right? And whoever lost, that defeat was imputed to the whole team or the whole group. And that whole group lost. So it was actually victory by imputation. Right? In other words, victory or defeat was credited to the whole group. Mm. Now, that should not come to a surprise to us, because the Bible says in Adam, we all died. Mm. Adam's sin was imputed to the whole human race. Amen. Am I right?
Amen.
But then the scripture also says that in Christ,
come on,
we're all made alive.
Man.
The righteousness of Christ has been imputed to the whole human race. Somebody should praise God for that.
Thank you. Mm.
See, you're not going to heaven because you won. You're going to heaven because Christ won.
Yeah, thank you.
You just got credit. So it was victory by imputation. So the champion, who was not used to losing, came out, and they see him, and he's huge. He's a monster. So let me show you another way when you're facing a giant and it just won't go away. Look at verse number 16. It says, for 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening, and he took a stand. Twice a day, this giant came out and said, yo, what's up? What's up, Ellen? Mm-hmm. I heard you've been looking for me. Mm. Well, here I am. You want some of this? That's really what he's saying. You know how we used to say that, right? Ain't nothing between us but fair. Let's close the gap. Right? The giant, he just kept talking. You know that chatterbox? Person is always talking smack. Mm. Mind you, the devil, right? Mm-hmm. Always in the ear. Both sides. Just talking, running off at the mouth. It says, verse 8, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you are, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is unable to fight me and kill me, we'll become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you become our subjects. So he says, send somebody out here, send me your best. That's that person that, you know, this is that person that just won't shut up. He's out there morning and night, just running his mouth. Talking a whole lot of smack. Causing you confusion. This is this guy, this giant. So Israel is facing a giant, and so are we. We have these problems beating us down and scaring us to death, making us feel defenseless and defeated. Day in and day out, they show up every morning, noon, and night, and it seems like they just won't go away. Not because we're not trying to run, it just keeps coming. And the scripture says Israel ran from him, but the giant kept coming. That's the anatomy of a giant. He just won't go away. He keeps coming at you. It sounds like the devil to me. That's why the scripture says, be sober and vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is like a roaming lion, roaring, seeking whom he can devour. He's relentless. He never gives up. He's constantly coming at you for something. Am I right?
Amen.
Day in and day out, and day out. So the question is, what's your attitude towards these giants that seek to rule and intimidate our lives? What's your attitude toward them? How are we to look at these giants? Well, there's a contrast here. We're told in verse 11 that Saul and all of Israel were dismayed and intimidated because this giant loomed so large. Now, I ask myself, why was Saul identified here? Well, first, because he's the leader.
Amen.
Right? Now, when the leader loses confidence,
Amen.
It's not hard to understand why all the ones following the leader will become intimidated and lose confidence because he's the king. And then secondly, the Bible says when they came to anoint Saul, that he stood head and shoulders above the rest of the people that was in the town. He was head and shoulders above them all. That's why they chose him, because he was the biggest and he was the tallest in the land of Israel. He stood head and shoulders above everybody else. So that, I mean, there was a marked difference between him and everybody else. He was a big man. So if he's head and shoulder above everybody else, and he's scared.
Come on.
And he said, I'm not going out there. You know you're facing a giant. When your leader won't go out there. Because no matter how big you are or think you are, the giant is bigger than you. See, it's like intimidation will make you shift. So why was Saul scared of Goliath? Because we're told in the scripture that Saul had drifted from God. So I want to share this with you. The farther you are from God, the bigger your giants appear. Now, I don't know what your giant is, but I do know this. Your distance from God will make your giant bigger looking or smaller looking.
That's good.
There's a principle in scripture that says, perfect love casts out fear. See, the more your love walk is intact, the less shook up you become when you see these giants coming. So why Saul was so intimidated and afraid, but here comes this young boy named David, who's not impressed with the giant, but who was impressive. The giant was impressive. But here comes this little boy. And anybody who walks in front of you that's 9 feet, 6 inches tall, I mean, they'll get your attention. You know what I'm saying? They'll get your attention. But David says, I ain't impressed by that. Look at verse 26. David asked the man standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Mm-hmm. Who's this dude? And what will be done to him? Look at verse 31. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. 32. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by his hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the army of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Yeah. And then Saul looked at David and said, you go ahead on then, bro.
Amen. Yeah.
That's a big dude. You go ahead. And some of you got friends
awesome.
Like Saul who are standing in the background saying, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. Go ahead. I ain't going, but you go. You know you got some friends like that, but David is not impressed. See, everybody else is affected by Goliath's presence. So as soon as Goliath came out on the scene, they got all shook up. But David, he wasn't impressed. So why was David not impressed? He was younger. He was shorter. He had no military experience. He's not been battle tested. I mean, what a difference perspective can make. Mm-hmm. See, most of the onlookers saw only a giant, but David saw a mortal man defying the Almighty God.
Amen.
He knew he would not be alone when he faced the giant. He knew that God would fight for him. We've been told over and over in the scripture that God said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. He would always tell them to go.
Yeah.
And lo, I will be with you.
Yeah.
See, that alone changes your perspective.
Yeah.
God will fight for you.
Yeah.
David looked at the situation from God's point of view. See, viewing impossible situations from God's point of view helps put our giant problems into perspective. Once we clearly see, we can fight effectively.
Amen.
He's looking around like, who's this dude? Who the heck is this guy? Come up on the scene. And that's the attitude that you and I have to have as we're going out to build God's house. Who's saying that we can't build this house?
Amen.
Amen.
That's the attitude that we got to take. That's why we said Wednesday night, we don't want no doubters.
Right. Amen.
Right? Who is this person that's defying the armies of the living God? Who's saying that we can't do this? God is with us. This is like Caleb and Joshua said, oh, no, 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 no. Let's go up there at once.
Yes.
That's the attitude that we have to have. Forget all the bad reports that are coming in. Oh, they ain't gonna be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Cast that down in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. He said, are you guys gonna let this dude talk to us this way? See, David was ready to do battle, and that's what we gotta do. We got this. We've been learning about the sword of the Spirit, ain't have
we? Yes. Amen.
The Word of God. We got the Word of God, and we don't have to stand by and let folks talk about Bokon.
Come on.
We put the Word of God on it. And watch this, we don't just pull out any word, because any word ain't gonna work, right?
Right.
There's gotta be a particular word.
Yes.
For that particular situation.
Mm.
And David was not impressed or afraid, because watch this. While everybody else was looking at the size and the history and the reputation of Goliath, David was looking at circumcision.
Mm.
Mm. Verse 26 says, David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? And he repeats this a couple of times, you know, in the story. See, the giant is uncircumcised. David, he's not talking about, you know, anatomy right here.
Right, right.
See, circumcision was a sign that you belong to God.
Amen.
Right? And the covenant, the male Jews were circumcised, and indicating that they were a part of the covenant. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
See, what David did with this giant is what Saul didn't do with his giants. And we rarely do with our giants, and that is, David looked at the problem from the spiritual eyes.
Amen. Amen.
He didn't even consider Goliath's height, weight, and speed. He looked at it through spiritual eyes. David said, I see somebody that's uncircumcised. I see somebody who don't belong in the same clan that I belong to.
Yes.
That means he didn't belong to God, right? That means he doesn't have the divine help on his side like David had.
Mm.
That means, boy, I saw Hoss Cartwright say this one time. He said, boy, I'm getting hopping mad. And you're in a whole heap of trouble.
Yeah.
And Hoss, he said, damn it. I'm hopping mad now. Because you're not just messing with us. You're calling out the army of the living God.
Yes.
See, the enemy is calling us out. So my question to you about the giants in your life is, have you developed a spiritual eye on your problem?
Yes.
Or are you intimidated by height, weight, and speed?
Mm.
Is the giant who's intimidating you a circumcised one or an uncircumcised one?
Mm.
Is it divinely ordained that's coming at you? Amen? See, I want to know, because if you're running in fear, then you have it. You're looking at it wrong. David said, I got to look at this thing spiritually. In other words, don't be distracted by the size of your problem. And here's why. Because we serve a supersized God.
Amen.
Am I right about it? It's just like you go to McDonald's or Burger King and you place your order. What's the first thing they ask? You want to supersize it? They want to know if you want your order bigger than the normal size.
Come on.
Right?
Mm.
But see, we've gotten so used to normal. But God is calling us to supersize him.
That is good.
Man.
David supersized God because he knew he had a spiritual perspective on his problem.
Mm.
Look at verse 45. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin.
Come on.
But I come to you in the name. We can just stop right there for a while.
Yes.
He said, you got all this stuff, but I got a name.
Yes.
I got a name. You got a sword, you got a spear, you got an armor bearer in front of you, you got a javelin, and you're coming at me with this stuff. He said, but I got a name. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He said, this day. You see it, verse 46?
Yeah.
He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God where? In Israel. All those gathered here will know that there is that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord says, for the battle is
the Lord's.
Yes.
Guess what he did? He delivered the battle over to someone else. He didn't say, this is me and you. He delivered it to God.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I was in third grade. I was about 50 pounds. But I was tight, you know what I'm saying? And then there was this girl named Evelyn Rushing. She was a big girl. She's bigger than me. Big girl. She really was. And she wanted me to go out with one of her friends, but the girl had big teeth. I didn't like her. And so Evelyn said, well, she likes you and you're gonna go out with her. And I'm like, I'm not going out with her. I got big teeth. So Evelyn says, well, you don't want to go out with her. 3 o'clock. I'm like, oh, Lord. It's only 10. So all day long, I'm thinking about this girl getting ready to jump on me. She outweighs me by about 20, 30 pounds already. She's taller than me. But we got to go outside at 3 o'clock. You know that circle we was talking about earlier?
Uh-huh.
Everybody gathers around in the circle and you two in the middle. Well, I saw a little crack. Saw a little crack in the circle. I put my dukes up. She put her dukes up, and I took off running. I ran all the way home, but I knew in my mind my sister is always on the porch waiting for me. I came around the corner on two wheels. And she said, why are you running? And then just about that time, here comes Evelyn, and I just dove on the porch and I just sat back.
Really?
My sister came off the porch, beat her from the floor up, boy. Tore her up. And I'm sitting there going, hit him with the right, hit him with the left. But the battle's not mine. It's my sister's. I made her a part of the equation. She was saying, I had a giant that loomed so large that was trying to destroy. The girl was going to beat me up, y'all.
Yeah.
The girl was a big girl. Now, before I made my sister a part of the equation, the battle was mine. Right? And I couldn't win it, but because I faced a giant that loomed so large with my sister by my side. Evelyn didn't mess with me for the rest of the year. I'm serious about that. She became my armor bearer.
Amen.
But see, when I delivered it over to her and allowed my sister to step in, the giant wasn't dealing with me anymore. See, David understood the spiritual nature of the battle. He knew he had to see this thing from the spiritual.
Amen.
And that's why you and I must do, not look at these giants with our natural eyes, but from a spiritual perspective. Mm. I mean, the battle is not yours.
Yes.
It's the Lord's.
Yes.
For some reason, we keep fighting it.
Mm.
Mm. God says, give it to me.
Mm.
He said last week that Elijah told the widow, he said, hand me your problem. But we keep trying to fight these battles on our own, and God keeps saying, hand them to me.
Mm.
You know, we don't look behind God to see what is this uncircumcised part. There's this thing against God that we must address that so that it's God's issue and not your issue. Mm. He's saying the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Amen. That's the anatomy of a giant. It's something that looms so large it intimidates you.
Mm.
The second thing I want to share with you is you got the attitude of the giant.
Mm.
You must look at these giants from a spiritual perspective, not just merely a physical or emotional or psychological thing, amen?
Mm.
Now, you have the anatomy of the giant, you know that the giants, the attitude of the giant is that, you know, you can't look at it from your natural eye, you gotta see it from the spiritual. So the final question is, how do you approach a giant that looms so large in your life? How do you go after it? Because it's bigger than you. It's more skilled than you, and it's a champion, it's undefeated. But I want to first tell you that how not to approach a giant. Remember in verse number 37, this is what Saul said after David had told him that David looked back at a couple of instances where God stepped in for him. And the Lord, in verse 37, says, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hands of this Philistine. And then Saul said, go, and the Lord be with you. Remember he said that, right? Saul said, go, and the Lord be with you. I'm praying for you. Well, in verse 38, it says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. Now, if you can remember, Saul stood head and shoulders above everybody else in the camp. He was bigger than everybody else, but he's offering David his gear. But David couldn't fit this stuff. It was too big for him. Remember, David's a little dude, so it was cumbersome for him. So David wasn't used to it, Saul's equipment. He had been asked to do something he wasn't used to doing. See, you can't beat Goliath using somebody else's armor.
Mm. Man.
That's good.
Man.
God gave you that method to address your need. Mm. That doesn't mean that it addressed the needs of somebody else.
Man.
God gives you the method to address your problem. But the Bible says, watch this, the Bible says that you are to work out your own fear, your own salvation with what?
Fear
and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
Says you ought to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You ought to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yes.
Right? See, God has, he does have fixed principles, but he doesn't have fixed methods.
Yes.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
See, all through the Bible, he uses different strategies for different folks. Right, remember when in 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when Jehoshaphat was going out to fight, heard that he was going to be attacked by all these three different armies, and then the man of God stood up and told him, if he did this, you know, listen to your prophets and prosper. They didn't do battle.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing he sent out there was who?
Choir.
He sent out the choir. And when they got over to the top of the hill, there was nothing but dead bodies everywhere, the scripture says. He told Joshua, he said, He said, when you go to fight against Jericho, just walk around the castle seven times. And then in the New Testament, when you had these giants that's looming so large over you, your Father in heaven sent Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he has fixed principles, but he doesn't have the fixed methods. So you got Christians running around using somebody else's armor, trying to fix their problems. You got to use something that you know what to do with. You say, well, how do I know I'm not supposed to use it? Well, it's simple. The scripture says it was too big for David, Saul's equipment. It was too big for him. It was uncomfortable. Can I read that for you? Verse 39, David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried to walk around, but it was not what he was not used to then. That's how you know that you're not supposed to use somebody else's armor. He couldn't walk in it. In other words, it didn't flow right. So I'm saying this, don't let other folks force their armor on you. Don't let them force their way of doing things on you, their approaches, because here's the important thing, because sometimes they may have you compromising. That's why you can't listen to everything and
amen.
Everybody.
Yes, amen. Yes.
It sounds good.
Amen. That's good.
But is it lined up with the Word of God?
Amen.
Because you just might be compromising. You got to keep the principles of God. You have to say, this giant has to die.
Yes.
This giant is going down. There's too much. There's no two ways about it. See, Saul's method wasn't right for David. He hadn't tested Saul's armor before. Verse number 40 says, then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he did what? He approached the Philistine. Notice that he had his slingshot in his hand already. This is what he knew. This is what he was used to using. The method he knew best was right in his hand. He used the tools God provided for him, and that's what we've been studying about, is we got to get this Word of God deep down on the inside of us, so when the enemy comes,
yes,
we can pull out the right tool. He used his slingshot and he picked five smooth stones. And then the scripture says he approached this challenge. He went after his challenge. While Saul and the rest of the army are running away from the Philistine, and they're playing defense. So you know that the giant is ruling in your life when it's coming forward and you're moving backwards. But David was confident. He was confident in the spiritual nature. And David moves towards the Philistine and he's on the offense. We learned last week in Bible study that God gives us one offensive weapon in our armor, doesn't he?
Amen.
And that's the Word of God. He's saying, I'm coming at you. He said, how dare you defy the army of the living God? Look at verse 42. So he looked David over and saw that he was more little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. So that's what the problem really was. He was jealous. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come with me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. Verse number 45, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and a spear, a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty God and the armies of Israel whom you have defied." He said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give your carcasses to the Philistine army, to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, but for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into your hands. Mm-hmm. Verse 48, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead and he fell face down to the ground. Can you have that picture in your mind? Put that picture in your mind.
Yes.
David is going after his challenge. Mm-hmm. He got the word of God that God is with him. Mm-hmm. Reaches into his sack, pulls out a smooth stone, winds that bad baby up, and then just like faith, releases it. Mm-hmm. And it hits Goliath exactly where it needed to hit him. You can just imagine Goliath running down on his helmet, moving all over the place, and then that's right smack dead. That wasn't by accident. Hit him right exactly where it needed to strike him. See, it's not about the size of the problem, mm-hmm. right? But it's knowing where and how to strike. Verse 50 says, so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. Now, this is interesting right here because Samuel wants us to know that there wasn't a sword in David's hand. He didn't have all the big stuff the giant had. Then verse 51, then David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. You know it's bad when somebody beats you up and then they cut your head off with your own sword. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but they took off running. Your enemy is running from you.
Amen.
The whole army of the Philistine takes off and flees. Now the giant is no longer in control of your situation. He's not calling the shots in your life anymore. He's no longer running the show. He's dead. And I believe it's time for many of us here today to stop letting the giants rule over our lives.
Yeah,
it's time for us to start running towards our challenges instead of from them and just standing by. That person, that problem, that thing only looms so large over you. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, it's only doing it because you don't see it from the spiritual eyes. See, you got this, you got to get behind that 9 feet, 6 inches. And you got to look at it from God's point of view. Can I show you one more thing? Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I was going to do it anyway, but I asked. But go to 1 John. I just want to read one verse. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I want to just read one verse. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
It says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. We have the victory. You're born again. You're an overcomer. right there. Last verse, back in Samuel 17. David took the Philistine's head, brought it to Jerusalem. He put the Philistine's weapon in his own tent. David killed Goliath. The Philistines are now running for their lives. And the scripture says that David and his army chased them all the way back home. There was dead bodies everywhere. And David walks into Jerusalem and he gives the priest the head of Goliath. He puts it on display in the middle of town. Then he takes the weapons and he puts it in his tent. The head of Goliath in Jerusalem is like you and I having a trophy case. It reminds you when another fool from Gath shows up at your doorstep, you got tangible evidence that your head is going to be like the head of this Goliath that came and attacked me. Especially when you get to acting up. It was a visible reminder that what happened to him can happen to you. David also took the sword and he put it in his tent so every time he wakes up in the morning, he can remember that when he was a teenage boy, God slew Goliath. Because David is going to be facing future giants, and you and I are going to face new giants in our lives, you got to be able to look at your life and see what God did yesterday.
Yes. Come on.
So when you face a new problem today, you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask, think, or can imagine. Amen. And you remember when God killed yesterday's Goliath. So when tomorrow's Goliath comes, you can call him the same thing you called the Goliath from yesterday, an uncircumcised dog.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It's time for us to start slaying our giants.
Yes.
Putting these things down, running towards your challenge.
Yes.
The challenge is to stop allowing them to chase you down.
Mm.
It's time for us as individuals and as a church to come together and start battling these giants instead of allowing them to sit and fester and take root. Build up and begin to compound on top of you.
Amen.
You need to start fighting them. You need to start facing them.
Amen.
So that we can do as David did. Is cut this giant off at the root.
Amen.
That's the problem. We never get to the root. It's time for us to start getting to the roots of our problem. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, stand on your feet. Give God some praise.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know what giants that you have in your life, but I know a God that is able to help you lay these giants down once and for all. I'm going to invite you to come to the altar, whatever that thing is. Let's bring it to the Lord, because the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. So the altar is open. Come down to the altar and let's put these giants